Amen. If you would, take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 as we get into the Word today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Once again, it's good to have you with us worshiping the Lord today. Easter's coming up in a couple weeks. Time is moving. God is good. Because He's good, you can leave goodness. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding, you can look at the screen. If you don't have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to bring your Bible so you can write in it. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That means that your perspective, your information, your understanding, your awareness, paradigm shift, if you will. You become awakened, enlightened, awakened. Have you ever had that moment where something didn't make sense and all of a sudden it clicked and made sense? I've had that in school. That's a natural dynamic, but there's also a spiritual dynamic here. Because some stuff needs more than just you thinking about it. It needs revelation in your heart. Some stuff, it won't make sense to your natural reasoning. That's why 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that the natural man never receives the things of God, the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness. Because they have to be perceived. They have to be received, not figured out. You can figure out some stuff in the Bible and you can teach it and preach it and things that you have figured out, but you cannot obtain them until you have received them from heaven. Because God starts in the inside and works outside. There's an anointing of wisdom and revelation, as you see in the verse before that he was praying. That God would give them that the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. They become aware. They begin to see something differently. We all need to see things clearer. Paul says, on this side of eternity, I see through a glass dimly. But once I get to the other side of eternity, I will be able to see clearly. I will know as I am known. There's degrees of understanding that we're all growing. And if you've been with us for any length of time, you know that one of our perspectives is that we should all be growing. I should be growing. You should be growing. None of us should be stagnant in our experience and our revelation of truth. It's a walk. It's a relationship. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know. That I may know what, Pastor Greg? Three things I want to draw out of this text. That you may know, number one, the hope of his calling. Say calling. Number two, the riches of his glory, of his inheritance. Say his inheritance. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power, say power, toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. These three things I think are relevant. I've taught this verse before, but I want to come back to it because I think it's so relevant into the season we're in. I believe it's so relevant into the season we're in. Number one, I want to talk about your calling. Your calling is the cause, the assignment that God has in the season that you're in. Most people think of a calling as sometimes as a lifetime, one-time thing, and it's a perpetual to fulfillment of it, and that can be included. But I'm telling you, there is causes or callings that God has for different seasons of life. David, when he heard Goliath, what did he do? He said to his brother, is there not a cause? He knew and understand that there was something the enemy was trying to do against the kingdom of God, the people of God, against God's plans. And out of that understanding, he was able to rise up and say, there's a cause. Say, there's a cause. I guess my question for you and I today is what is our cause today? In a world where people are stockpiling toilet paper and paper towels and Diet Dr. Pepper. Maybe you don't like Dr. Pepper. Fill in the blank. I don't know. Put whatever you want in. Maybe it's Diet Coke. Maybe it's Dr. Pepper. I don't know. In a world where people are trying to hoard to survive, in a world where people are trying to hide themselves until the storm passes, may I present an idea to you? I believe this is our greatest season, church. We can hide like the world or we can shine like our God. We can hide like our world or we can shine. When people are crying, when you are in fear, you scream. The voice of fear is panic. The voice of faith is confidence. God told Joshua, I'm with you as I was with Moses. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. No one's going to be able to resist you. All I need you to do is be strong and courageous. If you look through Joshua 1, 6 through 10, challenge everything I say with the word of God. And as you look through Joshua 1, chapter 1, 6 through 10, you'll see over and over and over and over again, God begin to tell Joshua, I'm going to do it. I'm the power that will back you, but I need you to be strong and courageous. Why do you need courage? Not so you don't feel fear, because courage is not feeling strong without fear. Courage is I'm going to obey even though I feel fear, even though I sense a risk. To say that David didn't feel fear would be almost impossible. How any young boy seeing a giant, but I think there was something that was on the inside greater than the fear on the outside. Because the Bible tells us that you have overcome, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the anointing of the king that was on David that came from prophet Samuel began to stir something on the inside of him, because the king's anointing was to bring order and was to subdue the enemies of God. And all of a sudden the anointing, the grace of God to do what God had assigned him to do, begin to stir him up. Let me challenge you. You don't have to do what anybody else does. You don't have to imitate anybody. You don't have to follow anybody. You find the grace of God. You find the anointing of God. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God, which has been placed on you when I laid my hands on you. Stir up the gift that God has placed in you. You don't come looking. You already have the gift of God. Are you listening to me? If you're sitting in these chairs right now, the gift of God is already on the inside of you. God's gifts, God's anointing, God's ability, God's grace, they're already there. You need to stir them up through praise and worship. You need to stir them up. And when the time comes, they will stir on the inside of you. When the anointing comes, it stirs the gift. Isn't that what happened to Elizabeth? When Mary went to greet her, and she was six, Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, and she began to greet her, and she said, when I heard your greeting, the baby on the inside began to leap. That was a physical baby. But for you and I, we have the truth of God's word on the inside, like a seed from heaven. The word of God, Matthew 13, is a seed. And with the anointing of God, when you begin to get into the anointing, it will stir up the gift of God. And the opportunity, the gift of God will begin to stir up on the inside of you. And you'll know exactly. You might not know 10 days, 10 weeks, or 10 minutes before the moment, but in the moment. Are you listening? We have to learn to live in the moment. The Bible tells us, don't try to figure out what you say when you stand before people who are trying to accuse you, but in the moment. Say, in the moment. Come on, church, shout, in the moment. We're going to walk in a whole nother level with the Holy Spirit than we have ever in our past, because we're not trying to plan and think, God, give me the 10 steps. Lord, give me the navigation of all the turns in this journey to show me I'm going to make it. You don't get it that way. Jesus didn't say, if you trust me, I'm going to tell you the 10 steps. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We have to be willing to say, where are you, Jesus, in this? And in the moment, shout in the moment. Side note, those of you who are watching, this is not meaning you can sit quietly. You can post, text, you can even put a little emoji hand up if you want to. Amen. Be responsive. Say, in the moment. I don't know about you, I like things all planned out. But there's another level of living in the cause where you're saying, God, I'm available to you 24 hours, 7 days a week. I'm not available to you just on Sunday between 10 and 11:30. Lord, I'm available anytime you want to use me. You begin to live available for God to use you. If it's feeding somebody, praying for somebody, or giving a child a drink of water, you are available. The devil, I'm telling you what, folks, the devil was going to wish he never messed with the church. Because you're just not going to look to Sunday to look to God. You're walking a whole nother level. God, I am open. That doesn't mean you are constantly praying. No, no one can be constantly praying and working and doing what you have to take care of. But your heart is open. That's why I love our Tagged by God wristbands, because we've encouraged you through this exercise, spiritual exercise, Paul would call it, to pray, Lord, use me to tag somebody. Leave it on your wrist, forget about it, and watch how the Holy Spirit creates the moment. Most people miss the moment because it didn't come the way they think it should come, or wasn't announced in a way that it should be announced. It's in the moment. It's learning to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in a moment. You're not thinking about it, you're not planning on it. I'm saying the Lord catches your attention and you begin to allow the anointing of God to stir. This is a key element that God was trying to even get Jerusalem and Israel to understand. You see context in the Bible where it's talking about to look to heaven and to always be looking and praying. And we see verses like even in Matthew 24. Have you ever heard people say, well, no man knows the day or the hour, and they quote Matthew 24. Actually, if you go to the text, what Jesus was saying was, no man knows. Are you listening to this? He was saying, no man knows the unknown day. Now, what they understood that we miss out on our English translation is that God for thousands of years had them do these feasts. If I can go down this rabbit trail for a little bit. And God would have them do stuff like the Passover. You've heard of the Passover. It started with the context out of Moses and telling all the Israel while they're in Egypt to take a sacrificial lamb, spotless lamb, and apply the blood on the doorpost. And when the death angel would come, it would see the blood and pass over. The judgment from heaven would pass over because of the blood. It not only, for years, they were instructed to celebrate the Passover. Not only as a historical reminder of what God had done, that broke the back of the enemy to open the door for not only freedom, but also a blessing like they've never seen, because the Bible says that they walked out of Egypt with all their gold, and they were the richest nation of the world. The Bible says they walked out of there with not one feeble person amongst them. That means they had supernatural healing. Shh. You don't have to worry what's happening to the world when you're a child of God. The blood of Jesus. Pass it. Okay. So it was symbolic of the past. It was also something very practical because it included one of the feasts that they had to do for their farming. But it's also prophetic. Say prophetic. It pointed to Christ. Everything is in the Old Testament is types and shadows, the Bible says, of the New Testament. Everything points to Jesus. Jesus, we know, is the lamb that was slain, the spotless, sinless lamb. That's what John the Baptist was saying when he looked at Jesus and he came to be water baptized, and he said, behold the Lamb of God. In the original text, he actually said, behold the Pesach. The Pesach was the special lamb that once a year had to be sacrificed, and its blood had to be spilled for the sins of the people. They understood that. And God said, what you've been doing historically out of routine, let me show you, there's more spiritual meaning. And he pointed right to the Lamb of God and said, behold the Pesach, which takes away the sins of, which was a revelation that the church didn't come into later because they thought it was only for the Jews. In the same light, in the same context, there was a feast called the Feast of Trumpets. And in that feast, they could not and did not know the specific time frame. It's the only feast that didn't have a set day. All the other feasts had a certain day. The day of Pentecost had a set day. Most people think the day of Pentecost is the day of Pentecost because that's when the Holy Spirit came on Acts 2. But that's not the way it happened. For thousands of years, they were celebrating the day of Pentecost. Pastor, Pentecost means the day of the Holy Spirit coming. Absolutely. Think of the humor of God. Think of the brilliance and the majesty of our Heavenly Father, that it would be like for hundreds of years, your family celebrating the birthday of John Peterman. And whatever your last name is. I'm just throwing out any name. I'm just afraid if people are going to start naming kids Corona after this. You know what I mean? Come on, somebody. Meet my daughter, Kavita. But imagine, take a child's name, and every year on this day, you have a birthday party for them. And for hundreds and hundreds of years, and all of a sudden, one day, that child is born. On that day. See, the introduction of the Holy Spirit to the earth, they had been celebrating on that day. It was the day It was the day of celebration. And it wasn't just there because after the Holy Spirit came, it represented the day the Holy Spirit would come. God knew it way before they could understand it. Say, God knew it before they could understand it. Come on, say, God knew it before they could understand it. So in the context, so God's saying, listen, I'm going to do something so amazing. God's strategic. He's very strategic. Things just don't happen. He said, I'm going to have the Holy Spirit come in power on humanity. And I'm going to let you know by having you celebrate that birthday. Not that the Holy Spirit was born that day, but that was the introduction. I'm going to have you celebrate his entrance for years and years and years. And you have no idea what I'm talking about. But one day it would all make sense. And on the day of celebration, the Holy Spirit came. Powerful. And yet they had the Feast of Trumpets, which is one of the feasts where everybody was supposed to go to the temple to stand before the presence of God. One feast that Jesus hasn't celebrated. Catch this. And they didn't have a specific date. So what they were told is, I'll give you the season. Say season. And what they would do is they would look to the heavens and they would see when the light of the moon would change. And when they begin to see just a sliver of the light of the moon, they would blow a trumpet and send two witnesses to let the people know it's time for the feast. If you weren't looking, you wouldn't be prepared. If you weren't looking, you would miss it. Because it wasn't like, hey, here it comes on this calendar day. Make sure you mark it. It was like you have to be ready and looking. So when Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour, he said, no man knows the unknown day. They understood what he was saying because in Matthew 24, he talks about knowing the season. You say, well, what about he'll come as a thief in the night? Yeah, read that. And Paul continue, if you continue reading, says that, talks about that the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And then later on, he goes on to say, but that day should not take you unaware because you are children of light, not darkness. Learn to live in the moment because in every moment, there might be a God cause that God wants to use you to make a difference. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number two, say inheritance. Shout inheritance. What is an inheritance? An inheritance is a possession of someone that after they died. Why would we need an inheritance as a son or daughter of God if God never dies? But when you understand the context that Jesus also is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. And when Jesus died on the cross, he cut or began a new covenant, a new testament, a new contract, and he began to bring us into the inheritance. Righteousness is part of your inheritance. Salvation, forgiveness of sins, heaven and not hell. You are what they call born again. When people say, are you righteous? Well, I'm trying to be. You don't try to be righteous. You're born righteous. Trying to be righteous is like if someone said, are you a guy? Yes, I'm trying to be a guy. No, you're either born a man or you're born a woman. You don't try to be one or the other. You are born that way. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you hear me? Say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's all by faith. That's Romans tell us that. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Are we doing okay today? Yes. Say, my inheritance. My inheritance. Part of our inheritance, part of our possessions that's available to us because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary is also the covenant of healing. 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed. Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, Isaiah says, you are healed. Peter says, you were healed. Why? Because the timeline is not the event you receive it. It's the event it happened, and it happened at the cross. So I'm healed. The doctor says you're different, but that's the outward. On the inward, you have to understand the spiritual thread of God's DNA is on the inside of you. The Bible tells us that you can't live in sin because the seed of God, the nature of God, the DNA of God is on the inside. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is in your heart. God is in you. You are not the same. Say, I'm the healed of the Lord. Faith is not denying what you feel. Faith is recognizing there's a greater gene involved, the greater DNA. Psalms 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word. Who's his word? Jesus. And just like righteousness, righteousness is connected to all of this. You were born again. You are born the healed of the Lord. This is seen and understood out of the context with the woman with the issue of blood, because she said within herself, if I could touch but the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. Here's a woman who had spent all her money and only got worse. And because she was worse and because the type of her sickness, she was to be isolated, self-quarantined, if you will. She was not allowed to be with anybody. She could not touch anybody. And anyone she touched, she wasn't allowed to go to church. And anyone she touched was they themselves unclean and could not go to church or the temple. Social distancing at its best. Thank you. Why would she understand something? Where would she get this mindset at? Because the Bible tells us in two other verses that people would reach out and touch the hem of his garment knowing that they'd be healed. It comes out of a prophecy in Malachi chapter 4, if you will. If you have your Bibles, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 says, but unto you that fear his name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, which a better translation says, and you shall be like cattle that's been locked in and released to the field, running and leaping with freedom. Matthew 14, Mark 6 also talks about them reaching out, touching the hem of his garment. Where are they getting that from? But unto you the fear, my name shall the Son. Notice there quickly in the King James, it didn't say S-O-N, it said S-U-N. The Son, and the original text means the brilliance of righteousness. The brilliance, the Son, like our physical Son, the light of the world, the brilliance of righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. The word wings there in the Hebrew, it talks about the prayer shawl that the Jewish people would wear. You remember Jesus would talk about that you would go into your prayer closet. What it was a shawl they would wear, and they'd pull it over their head, separating them from their surroundings, and begin to spend time in prayer. They had this understanding that at the corners, the four corners, and this also comes out of Numbers chapter 15, verse 38, the same word is used, and at each corner there were knots. Those strings that would dangle that had knots all represented the covenant promises, the commandments of God. It's those commandments of God, and the understanding was that as I prayed, God would enable you to obey the commandments, and you would live under the canopy of righteousness. So when they said him, they weren't talking about the hem of your clothes. They were specifically talking about the four corners. In the Hebrew, the word is zitzit, T-Z-I-T-Z-I-T. And it represents those knots. And they knew because of this prophecy that if he was the Messiah, catch this, that if he was the Messiah, it had been prophesied by men of God in the past that if he was the Messiah would come with healing. Within the commandments of righteousness. What she was doing is she was pursuing by faith something she could not obtain on her own ability. Let me say that again. She was pursuing by faith something she could not obtain in her own actions. She was pursuing by faith something she could not earn by her own efforts. For you are saved by grace through faith. What was happening? She was saying, if you understand Deuteronomy 28 and 29, you'll see where God said, here's the law, here's the commandments, and if you obey them, here's the blessing. If you break them, here's the curse. If you obey them, here's the reward. If you break them, here's the punishment. And just for clarity, poverty's under the curse. Sickness is under the curse. Don't take my word for it. Check it out. Spiritual separation from God is under the curse. And the curse is not there to improve you. The Bible says, and these curses will overtake you until you are destroyed. It wasn't God destroying them. It was the enemy. John 10:10, we find out clarity in the New Testament. That the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And God basically, if you want a middle picture, it's like God, as a parent, he builds this immaculate house in a beautiful backyard and puts up a giant fence around it and tells you, go enjoy what I've provided. Just make sure you don't go outside it because there's dogs outside. And no one's controlling them, but I'll control them one day. But right now, they're wild. So don't go out there. And as kids, we enjoy the benefits of what's been provided, but eventually in the process of time, we begin to think, I don't see anything out there. And the devil begins to manipulate in our thinking and says, does God really tell you that there's something bad out there? Or is he just trying to keep you from all that other land that's available? Maybe God's trying to confine you, not free you. And we walk up to the fence and say, I don't see anything on the other side. And we put our hand over and go, nothing happened. Maybe God is not telling me the truth. And we begin to doubt the goodness of our Heavenly Father. And we begin to climb over the fence and we jump over and then we jump back and say, nothing happened to me this time. And we keep doing it and we keep going farther and keep going farther. And one day, we run into the wolf who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And if we can make it back, some will say, oh, God hurt me, but I came back. God didn't hurt you. God did everything to protect you. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, which means the payday of sin. You don't get paid the first day you work. You don't get paid the second day you work. But if you keep working, one day you'll get paid. You won't find punishment the first time you sin. Oh, I did that. I watched that movie I shouldn't watch. I went to a place I shouldn't go to. I did that. I know that was my conviction before, but maybe I could get away with just a little bit of sin. And you play with it enough to eventually payday shows up. I'm not here to tell you to live my convictions. I'm saying you need to walk in convictions. This is a season of convictions. Can I get an amen? Amen. The knots representing the commandments. It's their understanding, even out of Psalms 91, the secret place and abiding under his wings. They understood that when they were in the secret place of God, that they could live with healing, the blessing of obedience. Jesus said, I have not come to do my will, but the will of the Father. Jesus was in complete unity with the will of the Father, which means Jesus, most people don't always understand this, the Gospels were written in the context of the Old Testament, not the New Testament. Because the new covenant can't start till the shedding of blood. Covenant has to have shedding of blood. And that happened at the cross. So before the cross, they lived and operated under the old covenant. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And so when he was under the commandments of the law, he fulfilled the law, the will of the Father, perfectly. Which means that if he obeyed the law, therefore he had the rights to the benefits. Which means healing was his. Interesting. And yet we can understand and realize that, wait a minute, the woman with the issue of blood said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, that I can be made whole. I can receive the benefits of his obedience. I can receive the benefits of his obedience. What is salvation? You begin to receive the benefits of what Jesus did, not what you did. The benefits. Last but not least, inheritance. Healing is part of our inheritance. The eyes of your understanding might be enlightened that you may know the hope of his calling. Stay in the moment. The hope of his calling. What is the riches of his inheritance in the saints? Healing's part of that covenant. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? The Bible continues to say, toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised them from the dead and set him at the right hand, above all principality and power and every name that is named. For that power not only raised Jesus from the dead, that power elevated him above all names. That at that name, every knee must bow. At that name, every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess. We serve a powerful God, my friend. We serve a powerful God. We serve a powerful God. The exceeding greatness of his power towards those who believe. I truly believe that this is a season of opportunity for us. I want to challenge you, encourage you. Don't look at how you can just survive. Start to pray, Lord, open my eyes to see the opportunities for advancement. That's what David meant when he said, let my feet be like hinds' feet. Let my feet be like hinds' feet, which means like a deer. Let my feet begin to allow me to advance where everybody else is falling down. When everybody is sliding backwards, you're going to move forward. When everybody is taking on the decline, you're going to go on the increase. When everybody is trying to survive, you're going to look to flourish. You're going to begin to say, Lord, open my eyes, because this becomes an opportunity where I can show your goodness. Because even Isaac sowed in the famine and reaped 100-fold the same year. That's an amazing miracle. When everybody else is trying to just eat what they stored, Isaac said, I'm going to take a risk and I'm going to plant when nobody else is planting. And he reaped 100-fold. You think this is bad, God can turn it for good, and he might have just opened the way and given you an opportunity to do something that nobody else would be willing to try. I said all this to say this one next phrase. This is what the Lord placed on my heart yesterday. And I don't know if this is for everybody, but I believe it's for somebody. I know years ago, I love technology. Years ago, I remember when this box came in to stores, and it was called a replay. Maybe some of you have heard of this. All of you now recognize what it is, because we call it a DVR. But years ago, you couldn't stop live TV. You couldn't pause it. And I remember when this technology came out, I was so excited about it. I bought one for myself, I hooked it up to my TV, and I just loved the idea that anytime I could just pause it. And I remember I was so excited about it that I went out and bought every one of my family for Christmas their own replay boxes. They looked at me like I had three eyes, and they all returned them. Nobody kept it. Now everybody has them. Everybody has them. I love technology. Because I like the whole idea of, wow, something that's live TV, I can pause it. I can go away, answer a phone, get some food, not miss the moment of the movie, come back and continue. But the reason I said all that is I feel like there's some people here, maybe you're watching a live stream. What the Lord gave me in my heart, take yourself off pause. Take yourself off pause. I think with the fear of the COVID-19 and the panic and where we can't be and social distancing and self-quarantine, many people have basically had the mentality of, I'm going to put my life on pause right now. And when it's all over, then I'll begin to live again. Take yourself off pause. Begin to live today. Begin to shine today. Begin to dream today. Begin to make plans today. Begin to move forward today. And I just heard in my spirit, and somebody that was making plans to launch out even with like a new business, it's like in my spirit, I could hear their conversation as they said, this is not a good time. We'll just put everything on pause until this is over. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, take yourself off pause. If you truly believe that he is a God of more than enough, that he is all powerful, that's available to you, exceeding great power to those who dare to believe, which means take myself off pause. God, if you want me to start a business, I'll start a business. You say, oh, Pastor, you don't understand. It's a horrible time to start a business right now to the natural man. But you can get the perspective of God, because there might be a lot of available rent coming up where you couldn't get it before. But now all of a sudden you can get the prime location at a discounted price. You got to see differently. You can't think the way the world thinks. Take yourself off pause. This might be a great time to reach your neighbor. Oh, I've invited them to church before and talked to them and you know everything going on. Take yourself off pause. Make the phone call. Call somebody. Care for somebody. Do something. Begin to live in the moment saying, God, I'm not going to live safely. I'm going to live by faith, which means I'm not taking unnecessary risk. But God, you speak to my heart. Show me what to do. And the plans I put on pause, I take it off. And I begin to say, show me how to walk this out. And when the storm is over and everybody comes out and their eyes are all swollen because they've been sleeping so much and their minds are dull because they've been watching 15 hours of TV all day and their bodies are fatigued because they haven't been eating correctly or exercising, all of a sudden they come out and they look around and you're standing there shining brightly for the kingdom of God. How? Because while they were trying to survive, you were flourishing. Your mind was open. Your understanding of your eyes and wisdom can begin to see how God sees it. And you begin to say, God, I know you're bigger than COVID-19. God, I know that you're bigger than a recession. God, I know that you're bigger than the problem. God, I know that you're bigger than the fear. God, I know that you can do the impossible. What a great season to see God do the impossible. Take yourself off pause. Look at two or three people and say, take yourself off pause. Take yourself off pause. Begin to live life. Plan in Jesus' name. Do you receive anything from that today? If you bow your head and close your eyes, I don't want to miss an opportunity. I trust everybody here is saved because you wouldn't be coming through all this to get to church if you weren't, but I'm not missing an opportunity, especially for all the people who are watching by live stream. If you do not know Jesus Christ, all this is based on knowing him, no one moving around, every head bowed, every eye closed. The question is not knowing about God. The question is not, oh, there's church stuff and then there's just a human body stuff. No, Jesus is Lord of all and every area of our lives. I'm here to tell you that it's not to join a church or be a better person. It's having a real experience with Jesus Christ. So I'm going to encourage you, if you do not know him in a real and personal way, because it's a relationship, not a religion. I know other people say it differently, but I just believe the word. It's a relationship, not a religion. So right when I have your attention, right now, I want to encourage you just to take a moment and think to yourself, is Jesus Christ real to me today? In a way that I know for myself that he's real and my Lord and Savior. If not, you can know him. Revelation 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. So I want to pray with you right where you're at for you to have that experience. And it's an experience, it's a miracle to have your sins forgiven, to experience Jesus for yourself. The weight and the cloud of heaviness removed, and that peace and joy that cannot be explained in your heart. If you don't have that, you can. Or maybe you used to have it, and for whatever reason, you've allowed stuff to come between you and God, and you know your heart's not right. This is your moment. This is your season. This is your now time to experience Jesus for yourself and come back. Would you pray this prayer with me? Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in to be my Savior
and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be first to say, welcome to the family of God. Let us know. We're not here to control you. We're here to help you. We want you to experience all that God has for you. You can text us, email us, call us, come by the information center and talk to us, whatever. Let us know, and we'll be here for you. Not to run your life. We're just here to pray for you, encourage you. You have to stay in the controlling factor of your life and follow Jesus, and you will end life in a powerful way. Amen.